Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone. Hello, I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. We are here at, where are we? BW Moving Images right here in Jersey City.
BW Moving Images in Jersey City.
And who are you?
I'm Eric Payne. I'm the co-host of Kay Thompson Live. I'm also Kay Thompson's son.
Yay!
That's me.
Yay!
So,
and you sound and look so young.
Right. I think that's more about you than it is about me, but I'll take it.
Oh, wow. Isn't that nice? These good feelings are coming from, you know, there's a great Mother's Day week and Mother's Day weekend, which was absolutely great. I saw Kaya do the regatta down in Philadelphia. She got medals.
Right. So
two medals.
Regatta is where they have a rowing. When people crew on crew, they call those matches
longboat.
Or those meets, they call them regattas.
Yeah.
So anybody else was wondering what that was. I didn't know what it was until I heard about it. But that's what they're called. And my niece is very good at that, so congratulations to her. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Yeah.
I want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, you know one thing I want to mention to you? I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know what I want to mention to you? Remember what we were talking about, Mal Wolfowitz, the Global Trade and Technology Center. Let me tell you something, because so many people have been calling about that, you know, because that is where, you know, they are presenting mainly veterans, you know, with the opportunity of becoming customs brokers.
Presenting it to everybody, but encouraging it, suggesting that it might be a good idea for the veterans out there. So we want to make them know about it. But
jobs.
Everybody is welcome to apply, not just veterans. Yeah. So we want to stress that. But
And they can be customs brokers at the various airports. And by the way, they're giving away 200 scholarships so that you will not have to pay, you know, for the course you have to take to become a customs broker.
Right, right.
You know, and the salaries go up to $100,000.
Very lucrative, very lucrative. So if you're looking out there, check it out.
I'll tell you, we have to tell people who to call. Mal Wolfowitz.
Mal Wolfowitz.
732-685-4380. Now that's Mal's number, 732-685-4380. Also, Eric.
And he can help, just before, let's not finish that thought, he can help people with information about how to get this employment and go about taking the necessary courses and things like that.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, he has all that information, everybody, so give Mal a ring. Also, I have to tell you, the first person that we're going to be talking to today is going to be the former ambassador to Antigua, Mr. Lionel Hurst. So he's going to be calling in, and we're going to be talking to him about Antigua and about what's happening in the Caribbean and the economics and education and a whole lot of other stuff. And then we might be able to talk to the former prime minister. I understand he's not feeling so well today, but we may be able to get him, you know, next week. What about Chuck?
When we might have Congressman Payne calling in. We usually like to have our Capitol Watch. He gives us an update on things going on in the 10th District here in Jersey, which Jersey City, where we're broadcasting from, is one of the areas in the district. Jersey City has a new mayor, as a matter of fact, Mayor Phillip. Congratulations to him and see if there's a, you know, how things could go. Looking forward, wish him the best in that. And hopefully they'll be able to do some good things in Jersey City.
Well, one good thing that's happening, too, is GoPro Radio Network here. You're right here
Small
in Jersey
business,
City.
Small business. You should support it. We want people to support us, support the Kay Thompson Live show on GoPro Radio Network. We need you to support our show on this network so we can continue to bring you information that concerns you, concerns the 10th District of New Jersey and United States and the world, actually. So we're talking about great many things.
You know what we also do, and we have to tell people that we do cover news, information, and education from all over the world. You know, we're global, the global communications issues that we have because of the fact that we do our research, and we also have loads of contacts, which is, you know, really good. So we can go from here to there and find out what's going on in any place at all. You know, I was getting information from Burkina Faso, and in a couple of weeks, you know, we'll have some information about what's going on there. So, you know, lots of things going on. Oh, boy, can't wait.
Well, it's been a busy week in the news this week. Boy, it's hard out there for a black president.
Oh, boy, is it.
A whole bunch of stuff going on. What? Had the Bengali issue that's still lingering, and they still want to get to the bottom of that. And then you have the IRS issue, which obviously he just made an announcement within the last hour or two.
He was angry, too.
That some people, that the acting commissioner of the IRS was fired.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to get to the bottom of that. And then you had the AP, Associated Press, getting their phone record subpoenaed by the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
So it's been a busy week for the president. They're coming at him from all angles, and there's some stuff to deal with in his administration. But here's the thing that I noticed, that, you know, in a 24-hour news cycle, what happens is that people want him to respond, like, immediately.
Yeah.
And for anybody that's a thinking person that likes to take time and think about things.
Especially a president.
Especially what you
right.
Certainly you want your president to take time and think about things before he makes a move. And, you know, these people that don't want him to win, they don't want him to have any kind of success, they don't want to do anything even that can be perceived as being as cooperating with him. So they all look for reasons to try and bring him down. And, you know, I was just watching a lot of the news, how a lot of people said he needs to do this. He needs to come out and do this. Give him a time to digest it and think about it. And, and that's what he did this afternoon, at least about the IRS thing. And we're quite sure that with the Associated Press things with the Department of Justice, Attorney General Holder announced an investigation. So, you know, there's people that this is just going to be another excuse for them not
and
to work
the
with the
commissioner.
President.
The commissioner was gone.
Right, the IRS.
You know, the IRS,
right.
Because the president came out with both, you know, barrels.
Right.
He wasn't playing games. He had gotten sufficiently angry.
Right.
You know, yeah. And, you know, he does things very carefully. So if people expect him to come out with some, you know, random something without checking or without doing anything, you know, they should sit back and stop complaining.
I kind of like my leader of the free world to take his time and think about things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I think certainly there's some things that need to be looked into, no doubt. Certainly everybody wants to be secure how they feel about the IRS because nobody's got the best feeling about the IRS to begin with. So, you know, when it seems that they're not really doing the right thing, everybody wants to come down on them or everybody is ready to jump on them. Plus, you have these organizations that they're anti-government.
Yes.
It's funny how they become anti-government when someone like Barack Obama's in there, but they were all about the government when George Bush was in there. So it's interesting. And the IRS scandal, too. You know, a lot of these same people that are calling for this investigation, they're the ones that were calling that the IRS investigate the NAACP when Julian Baum called out George Bush. So, you know, they talk, you know, some of them are true politicians because they talk out of both sides of their mouth.
And they are also true in a number of other things, especially when it comes to a black president, let's face it.
Right.
You know, you really have to put things where they are and talk realistically about them because
it's
of
obvious.
The fact that so many of the Republicans and some Democrats also, if we were talking about the southern states, you know, they do not want, never have wanted, a minority as president. Well, you know, they should realize that we're really not the minority anymore.
That's true.
You know, so I think that scares a lot of people, although I don't know why. That is so old-fashioned. That's like, you know,
well, there's
that's
some
foreign.
People that are determined
to
hold on to that way of life. And,
that's right.
For whatever reason it may be, from the individuals in the NRA to individuals in the Republican Party, they just do not want to give him any, cut him any slack at all. I mean, look, we have Mark Sanford, who was the former governor of South Carolina, who disappeared for a week to go be with his girlfriend, at the time. Now he's been reelected to Congress. So, I mean, you know, he could afford to take 2 weeks probably this time. So I'm told we have a call coming in. Perhaps that is a...
The former prime minister. I'm sorry, the former ambassador.
Former ambassador.
We hope. And
yes, indeed.
Going. Okay. Mr. Hurst, how are you?
Oh, good evening. I'm delighted to be with you tonight on
Thank
Talk
you.
Radio.
We're delighted to have you. My
Mr.
son,
Ambassador,
Eric.
Ambassador, how are you, sir?
Yeah.
This articulate man is related to you.
Yes. Doesn't he have a great voice?
Yes, he has a great voice and great presence and a great intellect, I can tell as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Well, so do you have a great voice. And I remember, you know, meeting you and interviewing you years ago on WLIB. And you brought
Indeed, I can recall.
You remember. Okay. And you brought a poster in to me. And, you know, we talked about the poster and... Eventually, I did get to Antigua.
Indeed.
Beautiful island. Yes, as a matter.
Yes, indeed. And we welcome you back anytime you choose.
Thank you very much. It was only about 3 or 4 years ago. So, and I absolutely loved it. But, you know, Ambassador, listen, I know you were involved with the United Nations. You know, you were...
Yeah,
dealing with that.
I served as our ambassador there for 8 years.
Right? You're doing that? Yeah. You were the economic dealing with economic development also in St. John. And not only but St. John, right?
Yeah, that is correct. We attempted to rearrange our lone city in order to accommodate tourists that were large numbers of which were arriving on board cruise ships.
Yeah.
Prior to that time, there was no deep water harbor. It was a shallow harbor, and it could only take very small vessels. But we dredged it, much like they've done in Miami, and built finger piers so that we could accommodate four cruise ships at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we separated it from our cargo ship operation, which can accommodate two big ones at the same time.
How is the tourism industry regarding cruise ships coming into into Antigua? Some of the terroristic things, or ships, some of the ships really breaking down, has that affected the economy?
No,
cruises.
It hasn't affected us. We know that there's been a fall off somewhat with the bookings, depending on the company that experienced the difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
But the companies that did not experience the difficulties, especially those heading to the Caribbean, have not experienced the fall off in business. And we have done fairly well this past season. As you know, the cruise ships come to Antigua beginning the middle of November or so. And by the end of April, they're finished.
Uh-huh.
So we see them for about 5 months, 5.5 months. Mm-hmm. And then they divert to Europe, to the Mediterranean at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And continue to do so until it gets cool again. And then they turn their attention to their Caribbean market. But we see some cruise ships during the summer months, but very few. One a week or two a week sometimes.
I see. You know, about the cruise ships and about the beaches there, I understand. You know, we have a mutual friend, and that's Al Jackson, who used to be on WLIV with me. I think you may know him. He told me at one time, and Eric, I don't know if you remember this, I always talked about Al Jackson told me there were 365 beaches in Antigua.
Yes, it is one of our marketing tools. We do have many, many beaches in Antigua. But we only use about 50 of them, 52 of them, so at least you can use one every week.
See, I didn't realize that, you're surrounded by water, so therefore you have loads of beaches.
Yes, but there are some islands in the Caribbean that are surrounded by water. As a result of having so many rocks rather than sand, they are unable to develop their tourism in the same way we have. And our island is about 15 million years old, so that we have white sand and not black sand, as some of the others. We are built on coral and limestone, while many of the others are built on volcanic rock, as well as on old fissures from old volcanoes. We are not like that. Our highest mountains rise to about 1,000 feet, and I don't even think you'd call them a mountain, although we have renamed one Mount Obama.
Mount Obama.
Mount Obama, yes. It's our tallest mountain here. Our prime minister was of the view that Obama had achieved something for the diaspora, and as a consequence, he renamed Boggy Peak to Mount Obama.
Now, since you said that, Mr. Ambassador, how has the election of Barack Obama been perceived there in Antigua and the Caribbean in terms of how the diaspora has responded to that?
Well, there are two views, actually. The first view is that he represents, in so many ways, the aspirations of all those people brought from the African continent 200 years ago to help to make other people wealthy. And he represents our escape from that long, torturous history.
Mm-hmm.
And the other view is that whenever there is anyone attempting to suppress either our offshore banking industry or our offshore gaming industry, that person is bad for Antigua and Barbuda, and he falls into the second group. We had a thriving offshore internet gaming industry here in Antigua and Barbuda. Yeah, and it is
right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, but it has been hampered severely by rules which the United States put in place to prevent their citizens from participating in internet gaming outside of the United States.
Right.
No credit cards can be used, and no winnings can be transmitted, and so forth. It's regarded as engaging in the using the wire under the Wire Act. It's regarded as engaging in gambling and using the telephones to convey bets or something like that.
Now, this was this done because people weren't receiving their money when they would win at these various games, or why do you think that?
No, we believe that it represents a change in the manner in which many people were engaging in parimutuel betting. As you know, buses upon buses travel down to southern New Jersey from New York and elsewhere in order to transport thousands of elderly to participate in the casinos on the Jersey Shore. Well, the next generation is not doing that, in part because they can sit at home with a at a desk relaxing and participating fully in the same kind of activity, albeit using a computer and a mouse rather than actually pulling the handle of one of those blackjack things, whatever they're called. And so the next generation is being lost to internet gaming. And I think there was an attempt on the part of the casino industry in the United States to ensure that their business didn't end up in places like Antigua and Barbuda. In fact, at one point, we had internet gaming. We had more internet gaming sites in Antigua and Barbuda than any place else in the world.
I see.
Including Australia, Costa Rica, China, wherever they're allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And why
Antigua and Barbuda was thriving. I'm sorry?
Why is that? Why were there more? Why was it the Caribbean or the Antigua chosen to be this location?
Well, in the first place, we didn't have any laws that restricted it, and we quickly passed some laws that enabled the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And there were hardly any taxes. We were doing this in order to encourage, one, the use of trunk calls so that Antigua and Barbuda's telephone system would be utilized, and they would pay a fee to the government of Antigua and Barbuda for doing this. And second, it would employ, the industry employed, hundreds of young people, people who are agile, who know how to type and use the computer and so forth. Jobs,
yes.
You know.
Right,
and it just killed off the U.S. Congress primarily has killed off the internet gaming operations out of Antigua. In fact, they've arrested four people who had internet gaming operations in Antigua were Americans and journeyed to the United States.
Is that illegal in Antigua? It's not illegal.
No, it's legal in Antigua.
Well, why in the world would the United States want to do that? I don't understand that.
Yeah, every American everywhere in the world is required to obey a U.S. law.
Right.
So if you disobey U.S. law anywhere in the world, when you arrive on the U.S. shores, they'll arrest you. And they can also seek to have you extradited. Now, because it is lawful in Antigua and Barbuda, our courts will not extradite anyone who engages in that activity here in Antigua and Barbuda.
Yeah.
And so the United States doesn't even bother to make a request for the extradition of Americans who are participating in the business here. But once they land on U.S. shores, and you know how complete and thorough the computer systems are, once they land on U.S. shores, and they must check through immigration, single, U.S. nabs them, and two of them so far have been convicted.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, let me ask you, are there still other countries are still taking part in the internet gaming industry there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, oh, yes. We still market to the Asians, to the Europeans, and so on, but the United States was and remains the biggest market.
Ambassador, listen, can you hold on for a minute? Because we do have to take a break, and we're going to be coming right back to this, you know?
Certainly.
Today's show, by the way, everyone, is sponsored by On the Move Sounds, inspired by Mamouyep Abu-Jamal, BWMovingImages.com. Please mention. That's my That's my information there, my direction. I am mentioning also people can watch and listen live at GoPro or GoProRadio.com. They can also donate via PayPal right from the homepage. Just mention in the notes that you are supporting these Snuppies. Yes, but
Kay Thompson,
Kay
Live.
Thompson
so
Live.
We need your support to support the Kay Thompson Live show out there.
Right.
And GoProRadio.com. So we're going to go
for a break, and we'll be right back with Ambassador Lionel Hurst. Stay on. Stay with us, Lionel.
Yes, indeed.
Jersey, Connecticut, a.k.a. Tri-State area, you're in the perfect spot to join a fast-growing community of energetic, political, creative, and eco-conscious activists focused on real climate change and environmental awareness. Now it's time to bring the fight to the airwaves. So we're calling all musicians, students, professionals, and earth lovers to get down with Eco-Socialist Horizons on the GoPro Radio Network and help tackle the greatest challenge humanity has ever faced. If you're interested in getting involved, and there are many ways that you can, both on and off the air, email us at ecohorizon@goproradio.com. That's Eco-Socialist Horizons with Joel Cavell and Quincy Saul, only on the GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. www.goproradio.com.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Okay, we are back. I'm Kay Thompson and
I'm Eric Payne.
And we are talking to Ambassador, former Ambassador Lionel Hurst from Antigua. Really interesting information. I want to ask you about education, Ambassador. Is that okay?
Yeah, surely. I'd be delighted to talk about it.
You know, how does American television, you know, some of it can be pretty raw, and I'm assuming that the kids watch a lot of American television. Does this impact negatively on the kids there or what?
Well, first, because we do tourism and because a large percentage of our tourists come out of the U.S. market, we are obligated to provide cable television and many cable television stations to the hotels and other business places. The end result is that we consume the same television in our homes as well. And so your question is most apropos. How does it impact the children of Antigua and Barbuda? We know one thing, that they consume the same diet of TV that American kids consume. Mm-hmm. I know that because I have a family of 10-year-olds in New York City, and a family of 13-year-olds here in Antigua, and I can tell you that they consume essentially the same TV TV cartoons and so forth, and also other shows. Now the end result is that their attention span is severely limited. But there's one significant difference between city kids and those who live in a place like Antigua and Barbuda. You may be hearing crickets in the background if you listen closely. And we are very close to nature.
Yes.
I can see the ocean where I live.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots and lots of trees and shrubbery right around where I am. When it rains, the mosquitoes and the frogs come out in large numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is another reality to which the Antiguan kid immediately must adjust. He or she adjusts to another world, a different kind of world, a world in which he or she can get on his or her bicycle and ride around sort of freely without interference and so on, and in a fairly secure atmosphere. They go to the beach on their own and so on. So what you get is a freedom from all the encumbrances that a city compels. In our case, that environment does not exist, and so there's a lot to be learned just by watching nature daily.
Now, you were born in the United States, weren't you?
I'm sorry?
Were you born in the United States?
No, I was born in Antigua, but I spent a significant number of years in the U.S. after my 21st birthday. I attended a university in the U.S.,
I see.
Including law school in the U.S.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
What about cricket? Oh, you know what? Before we go into you know, I really wanted to ask you this. Now, with talking to you in Antigua, and I've been to Antigua, and I absolutely love it. I love those 365 beaches. But listen, what about carnival? We're really thinking of carnival. You know, this is so important to the islands in the Caribbean, and it's such a wonderful time. So has has those preparations started yet?
Oh, yeah. Our carnival is celebrated the last week of July through the first Monday and Tuesday in August.
Mm-hmm.
Monday and Tuesday are holidays.
Mm-hmm.
I might add, so is the Saturday, the Friday, the Thursday, the Wednesday, the Tuesday, the Monday before. we have become a workers' paradise. And so what happens in Antigua and Barbuda, having a long history of slavery and colonialism and forced labor and so on, is that having gotten hold of the machinery of government, we've made laws that are very, very generous to workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our case, we celebrate carnival as a way of marking the end of our enslavement. August the 1st, 1834, was the day on which our forebears escaped chattel slavery. Now, yours did not occur until Lincoln signed the Declaration in 1863 and then the Proclamation in 1865. And in the case of Brazil, it went all the way up until 1888.
Mm-hmm.
So... And we have been celebrating August 1st ever since 1834, but it wasn't until 1957 that we turned it into carnival. And,
so Ambassador, that's the nature of carnival and a lot of the Caribbean islands?
I wish it were. If I said it was, I would be inflating. Well, I would not be absolutely truthful.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is that it has become a big party that lasts and lasts and lasts. there are a few of us who, on the night of July the 31st, we gather at one of the sites where the slave revolt once took place or something, and we mark the coming in of August the 1st, much as it was marked in 1834, on the night of July 31st, the morning of August 1st, 1834. But by and large, most of the folks in Antigua and Barbuda are celebrating and enjoying themselves at that time. Carnival is a big party. A lot of it is a street party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it takes place in a big park, as Kate will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And we dress up in costumes, and so we sing songs for which there is a competition. And we have a queen show to determine which queen is the most attractive, most beautiful, the brightest, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And other kinds of a steel band, for example, which is a kind of a Caribbean invention.
Yeah.
That too, yes. Mm-hmm. We compete, you know, 100 men and women in a steel orchestra, as we call it.
You're serious, 100?
100, yes, you'll have. I think there now is a cap of 107.
Yeah.
You cannot exceed 107.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, why is that?
It became too difficult to move 107 pans or drums onto the stage and move them off again.
Logistic problem. Oh, that's a lot of moving.
Yes, a lot of movement, and it takes a long time depending on how many you have. But if you don't have a large number, you know, you very likely won't win.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the cacophony, you know, the sounds must all blend and so on, and you really must have drums that have deep basses and those that have high-pitched sounds.
Let me ask you, is there a competition among the Caribbean islands to see who has the best carnival?
Trinidad and Tobago. We say we're number one, but we know that we're just deceiving ourselves. I'm sorry, Trinidad, yes.
Yeah.
They have
Trinidad, first, has oil. And so they have lots and lots of money. They have high incomes.
Ah.
We have tourism. Mind you, we are not doing too badly, but oil.
But the Trinity say that they're better, right?
Yeah, they just and they have more people. Trinidad and Tobago has about 2 million people. Antigua and Barbuda has about 100,000.
Uh-huh.
So there are limits to what we can do. And in fact, Some of us even become so lazy we just purchase our costumes from costume makers in Trinidad and Tobago. For them, that is an export.
Yeah,
wow.
That's big business, though, right? With the costumes,
it is big business indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have developed the art form on our own. So there are many here who manufacture their own costumes, but all the inputs must come from elsewhere because our greatest product is pleasure, not wire or tinsel.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make those things. We import them, but we export pleasure.
Uh-huh.
It's our business.
I see.
Yes. You come to Antigua with money in your pockets, and we separate you from your money by offering you things to do that are interesting.
Uh-huh.
And when you leave Antigua, you're very happy because you have enjoyed yourself, but you have no more money in your pockets.
Uh-huh.
We have done a good job of entertaining you, and you come back again because you love it so much.
I see.
Yes, we're exporting pleasure.
Okay.
Well, that's certainly a great product to export to the world.
Yes, a great product. Yeah. I mean, what happens, though, is that those of us who live here begin to think that in order to get better at it, you know, at the production of pleasure and the export of pleasure, that we must, in fact, dibble and dabble in the pleasure. And so
it's kind of like
become a pleasure base, which brings me back to the question. Hmm?
That's kind
it
of
brings me back to the question of education, which you raised. And one of the things we try to do, both publicly and privately and in the schools, is to teach Antiguan Barbuda history so that they can have a great appreciation for a long struggle. We were essentially nothing but a sugarcane plantation, one sugarcane field after another, exporting the sweet stuff to Europe, making Europe very wealthy, and, of course, keeping our forebears.
That's one thing that I find lacking, you know, that the kids who are in school and they're coming from the different islands in the Caribbean and outside of the Caribbean, you know, they don't get to talk about their history.
Right.
And really that's at a loss because we can certainly benefit from knowing, you know, the history
certainly,
of our
you know,
Caribbean
certainly.
Islands because some of our relatives, you know.
Well, the diaspora, you know, people of African descent
that's
all over the world should be aware of the historical connection, certainly, that we all have and how we ended up in these various places. All over the world and through the journey.
We're gonna have to go, Ambassador. Listen, will you join us again soon?
Be delighted to join you. Be delighted to join you. You let me know where and when, and I'll arrange it.
Yeah, okay. Because your history, your bio is so long that I haven't gotten to even a tiny bit of it yet.
Yeah,
it's been most enjoyable. And you know, by the way, when does Carnival start in Antigua?
Yeah. Well, because this is 2013, we have a different period. It's going to begin in at the end of July, which would be the week of the 26th of July. Oh. I think, actually, the opening is on a Sunday or the Saturday before, the 24th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go all the way through the 3rd of August.
Uh-huh.
Something
like
that, yeah. Okay. I know the truth, folks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're most welcome. I look forward to speaking with you again, Kate.
Thank you, Ambassador.
Good night, sir. Good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back, everyone. Stay with us.
Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we are back, everyone, and we are back. This is Kay Thompson on Kay Thompson Live. And
Eric
I'm
Eric Payne, son of Kay, yes.
Right.
Like they used to do back in those old biblical movies, Eric, Son of Kay, and Bill.
Yeah.
People used to always introduce them. I always thought that was kind of funny in those movies. I want to remind people next week, we're going to be talking about poverty in the U.S. of A. Because if you saw, Melissa Harris Perry had a great show over the weekend about poverty in the country. And I'm of the personal belief that no one should be homeless or hungry in the United States.
Right.
And because of the way things are, and we kind of have a lot of poor people in this country, and it seems that it's not right, and there's a way that we can work that out where people wouldn't have to.
And they shouldn't be poor.
Yeah.
That's number one, you know, the lack of jobs and all that kind of stuff, all the things that go with that.
Goods and services are so expensive, you know, and some people are, you know, when you live in a capitalist society, people are doing things to make money. That's well and good, but there somehow should be a moral aspect to that. So we're going to be talking about poverty next week. Mm-hmm. We're hoping we want people to call in and talk to us about what they think causes poverty in this country, what kind of solutions they might have, and how they navigate their way through an economy that's pretty tough, and if they have any advice for other people. So we want you to be sure and listen to us next week. Going to be the 20-something of May. I don't have the date exactly in front of me, but we want you to be sure
next
to listen to that.
Next week will be the 22nd.
The 22nd of May.
And
we'll
also
talk about poverty in America.
Yeah, and also, Eric, along with that, you know, I wanted to get in touch with Sonny Sutherland, you know, because he, you know, won in Supreme Court. You know, the highest court in the land upheld his decision from the United States Court of Appeals, the Second Circuit. And it allows Sonny Sutherland to sue Timothy Wu, the ACS worker, caseworker, who submitted false statements to a family court judge in order to obtain a warrant, which led to the wrongful removal of his children in their home. Now, Sonny is affiliated right here.
Right.
He and Ty, I've known them for so many years, as you know, years and years ago.
Right.
And I know him to be a wonderful father, absolutely wonderful father. And for this, you know, son of a so-and-so caseworker, and his name is Timothy Wu, and Sonny won. He absolutely won the case. Mm-hmm. Case dates back to 1997. Now, I remember when this happened, when Wu, armed with the support of his supervisor, you know, obtained a warrant to enter and remove Sonny's children, you know, from their Brooklyn apartment.
Right.
And this guy, you know, no one knows where he got his story from. They were misleading. He was making comments and allegations of neglect and abuse of other children.
Mm-hmm.
It was so absurd, you know, and yet his children were taken care of, you know, taken away from Sonny. Now, I happened to see his son, you know, several months ago, and I hadn't seen him since he was about, young guy.
Right.
And to see him was just so emotional to see, you know, because I know Sonny and I know what a father he was.
Mm-hmm.
So he sued.
So that's a show we want you to listen out for that we're going to be doing in the future.
That's right. That's right.
So that's certainly a subject matter to get in. And
there's
talk
another
about.
Thing that people should know, that he is the founder of a grassroots community group called People's Advocacy Boot Group.
Mm-hmm.
And they serve as an educational and a support system for other families.
Mm-hmm.
All those who are struggling with child protective service agencies, and sometimes these protective agencies, if you don't monitor them, you know, they can get carried away, you know, with their misinformation that they give to people, you know.
Right.
And they end up with, you know, your children being taken from you and then having to go through a whole years and years of trying to get them back. And that's what happened to Sonny.
Well, it's a horrific, horrific experience.
It's horrible, absolutely
horrible. And hopefully
horrible.
We can get him in here and he could share his story. And maybe hopefully it'll be a lesson for people who are going through similar circumstances, how they can navigate their way through the system. I'm sure he has some great advice and great information and a compelling story to talk about his experiences with that situation. And we look forward to that. You know, I wanted to talk again about, you know, some of the stuff about, you know, how we are very forgetful in this country. You know, people talk about the Congress, going back to the politics, and they talk about, you know, nothing is going to get done now because they're going to have all these investigations. And when people talk about they don't have much faith in various institutions of government, that's really what some people want to achieve.
Yeah.
They want people not to have faith in institutions of government, particularly, I guess, because you have the president that you have and people on the other side. But, you know, what hopefully we can do is pay attention to who are the individuals that are causing government to have this logjam? Who are the individuals that are in the way of moving things forward? You know, you had the problem with the airline industry coming to a standstill.
Mm-hmm.
And enough people got upset and made it known that the representatives came back and they worked out some sort of deal. So progress can be done. Governing of the nation can be achieved. It's just that, you know, when you see these polls and people talking about, you know, they rate Congress so low and stuff like that, we need to target and look at the individuals that are doing these acts.
That's right.
You know, instead
That's
of just,
right.
just getting mad at the whole system, because there are individuals in there that are working very hard to make sure the average American is able to survive and put food on the table and has a decent lifestyle. And then there are individuals that are in the Congress that are their sole objective is to be in the way, is to prevent any type of progress from being done. And so when people talk about that, don't put everybody in the same basket, because there are certain individuals that are trying to do the right thing and do the work of the people. And there are those individuals that aren't. They have their own agenda. So we want, you know, be astute enough.
Aware.
Be aware enough to know who those individuals are and separate who from who needs to be separated from. And then, you know, if you have relatives or people in that area, you know, target
support
those.
Them.
Support the people that are doing the right thing, and the people that aren't, let's work to get them out of the way.
That's why, you know, we're so particular about politics. Because, listen, this is the name of the game here in the United States, and it's very important. Mm. So it's very, very important that we be aware of exactly what's going on. You have to know your government. You have to know how the structure works.
Right.
For instance, if when I was teaching school, I was teaching, you know, the kids how to, you know, determine where the laws come from, what happened.
Right, right.
And, you know, we would explain to them that you start with the city, you know, who governs the city and what is that person called, the mayor and then this councilman, and you go through the whole process. And they, you know, and also what I was doing when I was teaching was, you know, play acting with the kids.
Right.
You know, make it believe that they had a court and they had to go to court about different things, make it believe that they had they were going to be voting themselves and they would actually vote for, like, the president of their class.
Right.
That way you're getting them, getting children at an earlier age so they become aware of what's going on.
Sure.
And then you tell them the importance of voting and the importance of being involved.
Right, right.
You know, for instance, I'm talking about Donald Payne Jr., you know, my nephew, your cousin. How he was in on this, you know, in politics early on, you know, when his father was, you know.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I always said that Congressman Donald Payne Jr. was a fantastic teacher, you know, because I got my first, you know, teaching job through him in Passaic County. In Passaic. And the kids just couldn't wait until he came to school because he was just so fascinating.
Right.
He knew subjects and he was very involved with the kids. And you know, because you had gone to Russia. You know, through the work at the Y, and we were involved.
Right, right.
And that's so important for when you are in a community, for you to be involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, now this is a stretch, but going to this man who, with these three women that he kidnapped,
right?
You know, that was just on the air and chained and all that sort of thing. Why is it that people didn't know that? Why is it that? Because you kept it from them, of course. But people, you know, you have to be involved and know your community, know your neighbors.
Right. Well, and kind of tying it back into what we're talking about, the political aspect and the community involvement aspect. Mm. Really, it's really about being involved in your community, and also the community being active enough where they demand the respect from the institutions. They talked about how they would call the police department, and they wouldn't get any reaction of a lot of times that they wouldn't get reactions about police response to come and look into these problems and that's a thing of power and being active and being active in your community and what goes on in the larger community, your neighborhood, your city, your state, and when you have a voice in that, you'll get the respect, you know, and perhaps. Who knows? Perhaps some things could have been avoided.
Yeah.
Not saying that would have definitely been the case, but we know that in poorer communities, when they call for services or call for police officers, it's been documented that they don't get the same amount of respect or get taken quite as seriously when someone from a poorer community calls to report a crime or to make some sort of inquiry about something going on in their community. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely an important thing and an urgent thing that people don't watch it go by. Get active in your community. Get active on your block and your civic association and things like that.
I want to go in another direction.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go into a whole different subject. Now, you've been acting for how many years?
Long time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to tell people how you get involved. What did it take? Now, I know what it took for you.
Right.
You know, but what did you start doing, and where did your interest come from?
Right.
I think you might remember a couple of the plays. You know, I know one, somebody was bothering you on stage, but there was the play, and I wanted to go down there and beat the person up.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you're doing a radio show with your mom, you just don't know what she's talking about, ladies and gentlemen. It's just, you see, I'm trying to have a straight face as I'm looking at her, trying to follow what she's talking about. But you know, when you're related to somebody, it gets a little hard trying to figure out what in the hell, what you're talking about.
Are you kidding?
So
I jump from one subject to another. Whatever
you know,
comes to my
pet peeve of mine. Somebody just act like they're in your head already. You're thinking what they're thinking, and they just start talking about stuff. So anyway,
what was your favorite film?
My favorite film
that you did.
I couldn't even talk about it. But the way I
Malcolm?
Got into the acting profession, or where I was interested to be an actor, is you know watching a lot of TV. I was a product of watching a lot of TV and movies and imagination. So that kind of got me interested in being in an environment where you can make believe all the time, and then just spiraled as that. Wanted to be a filmmaker and do a lot of this technical stuff, radio, TV, and that interests me, but got a little bit more geared towards being in front of the camera, and things started to work out. But it's about images, you know. A bigger issue about the entertainment industry is the images that have been presented about black and brown people, about minority people in our country. And what one tries to navigate themselves in this industry, and they try to figure out what is their purpose. You know, some people just want to be in movies and TV because they want to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't even need to have a TV show to be famous or something like that. You can be on the internet. You can be on Facebook. You can be on YouTube. You can be doing reality shows. But and those images aren't the best. But you know, when you tell stories, to be a storyteller and to be a performer, that helps, I think, you bring an understanding of people's stories and people's plights. And part of the one of the first things you learn getting into the acting field is theater is made to educate. One of the objectives is to educate and entertain.
Mm-hmm.
And through the presentation of stories, various stories to people, you know, you can walk, so to speak, you can walk a mile in another person's moccasins when you go see a good movie about someone's plight or someone's thing. I guess that's part of what I'm going to talk of, that movie, The Help. Didn't really see it, was not really into it, but I suppose that some people were able to see. I suppose that some people were able to see some of the stuff that some of these women had to deal with as maids.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened some people's eyes, although Hollywood kind of, sometimes, you know, it sanitizes things, takes the reality out of things. But, you know, I found that if you see a good movie or a good television show, or a story is told in the right way, it can educate people and give people a different perspective about life.
Yeah.
And not only is it entertaining, but it also, you know, sometimes people are able to learn things.
School Days. Was that your first film?
Right.
With Spike?
No, it wasn't.
What was the first film? I forgot.
A movie called She's Gotta Have It.
Yeah,
what we're talking about.
Right,
this,
She's Gotta Have It.
I guess we must be running out of stuff to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, because my mom is asking about stuff she
I had planned to ask you about this anyway, because I knew a couple people had asked me, can you ask Eric how he got started? Because they're interested in getting started in film.
Right.
They're interested in being actors and actresses.
Right.
And here I have an expert right in front of me that I have lived with for
years. Well, we want to encourage people to call in and ask any kind of questions that you can. Once again, we need your support at GoPro Radio Network.
Right, always.
GoProRadio.com. And we want you to know that today's show is sponsored by the sounds of Mumia. I always mess his name up. Mumia
Abu-Jamal. Right.
And that's BWMovingImages.com. You can get that. But we also need your support. to keep this content coming to you.
Yeah.
And we certainly need your support for the Kay Thompson Live Show. You can go to the GoProRadio.com website, click on the donate button, and let them know that you're donating to support the Kay Thompson Live Show. We're hoping to get a call from the congressman, your congressman, to give you an update about things happening in the Capitol, live kind of up-to-the-minute update, so people could know what's going on in their nation's capital and how it affects them. So we've got to go for this last break, I believe, and we'll be right.
Five minutes. You know, I want to give this number out, you know, just in case someone wants to call and ask you about acting.
Sure.
We have 5 minutes. 323-679-0906, everyone. 323-679-0906 to talk to Eric about how you get into the film business. How do you get into the industry?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's had a very interesting career, and he's been in a lot of films and really good stuff.
Right.
And you are a darn good actor.
Right, right.
You know, and absolutely fascinating. Once again, 323-679-0906. We have a couple more minutes before we go off. And if you want to ask Eric something about film, how you get started, what do you do first?
Right.
You know,
right.
How do you get into it? You know, what was
nowadays it seems to be a lot easier. You have a lot.
I remember Jonan.
Right. That was a play that I did at the New York Shakespeare Festival.
Right.
That was my first opportunity. But nowadays it's a lot easier for people to get into the media, you know, shooting projects and digital media and things nowadays with the equipment is really user friendly. And you have an outlet with the internet to put some of your work up. And you definitely have to study.
Yeah.
You know, as to be an actor, as to be anything, you need to learn the basic craft of it. And there's plenty of stories out there that need to be told, stories that haven't been told yet. And there are a lot of great characters out there for people to play. So, you know, just something as basic as taking pictures of yourself and expressing an interest in learning how to be an actor, it's something that is a start.
What about going for, you know, when you see an advertisement in Backstage or something like that?
Right.
If you have some experience, you know, in drama
or something in your high school or college. Trades, and they have...
What are the trades?
The trade newspapers, like anything else, the Backstage and things like that.
Right.
And those things will give you information about what's going on in the business and auditions that might possibly be available.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you're in close proximity to the New York City area, you can easily find a lot of those. Now, the industry has changed so much. It's so digital. So you can probably go online to look at these things. And there's various different casting situations there.
Yeah.
A consumer tip, I would mention that some people not spend as much money or allow people to talk you into spending a whole lot of money. When they say they want to represent you and you need to spend a couple hundred dollars on pictures and things like that, that would be raise a red flag.
In other words, don't spend a lot of money on pictures. Is that
no?
It
I'm not saying that. If someone says to you that it's going to cost you a certain exorbitant amount of money, it should raise a red flag to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want anybody to you know. There's a lot of ways for people to rip people off. When they know that people are trying to get into the certainly entertainment industry, and I would assume the modeling industry as well. So we want to certainly encourage people to follow their dream, but we also want you to know that you have to be careful.
Yeah.
So
also, there's a new show that's going to be coming on GoPro Radio Network, and I think it's a cooking show. We're going to find out more. Information, are you going to be talking about it, Shauna? Okay. What is the name of the show? When is it going to start?
I'm just going to quickly just mention it. It's a new show with myself, Shauna Glover, and Nina Markel called Food Wrap.
Uh-huh.
And it's just basically, you know, two people who have an interest in eating healthy and, you know, finding healthy alternatives and kind of bringing that to the airwaves, recipes, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, different farmers markets and just giving people information on, the healthiest foods, where to find that food, and, you know, that kind of thing.
I did not know that that was going to be your show also.
Yeah. My show and Nina Marco.
Oh, okay,
we're the co-hosts, and that's going to start Saturday, June 1st.
Okay, your show and who? Let's get it clear.
My name is Shauna Glover.
And your
Nina Markell.
Okay.
And neither one of us are nutritionists or doctors. We're just two women who have an extreme interest in health.
Uh-huh.
And I think just, you know, all the information and news that, you know, information that we find in the news about Monsanto and things like that, we take an interest to, and we want to bring that information to the public.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah. Can't wait.
That's
going to be on a Saturday?
It's going to be Saturdays at 3 p.m.
At 3 p.m.
June 1st.
Until 4? An hour show?
Right now it's going to be a half an hour, 3 to 3:30. So just a brief time.
Yeah. So people can pay attention to GoPro Radio and find out. Is that
That's it? Right. Get their information on health. And we also encourage people to provide it. You know, if they have some information we're not aware of, this is all about a platform.
Yeah,
And inform people. We want people to be informed about what they're putting in their mouth.
Okay.
They're putting in their bodies.
So the name of it is, again, is going to be what?
Food Wrap.
Food Wrap.
Yes.
Okay. Wow, that's exciting. I did not know that.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you for your, I really appreciate the time, and thank you.
Yeah, well, you have to come on next week and really talk about it.
Absolutely, and I'll bring my co-host Nina with me.
Okay, that'll be fine.
Okay, thank you.
And we also want to remind people next week we're going to be talk about this issue of poverty and people being poor in this country, because there's, you know, something really bothers me. How we can have so many people that are in such great need. And you go through certain communities, and it looks like they're building condo after condo after condo. And there's so many people that are homeless.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, like, where are you know, these big, huge condos and these expensive buildings are getting built, but who can afford to live in them? And where, and why do we have so many homeless people and people that are living in poverty? I think the numbers will really be surprising in terms of how many people that we have in living in poverty and things like that. And I mean, a lot of them are children.
We want to try to.
And that's really something that's horrendous. So
we want to try to bring Sunny Sutherland on next week also.
Okay.
You know, because that's really, you know, I've been wanting to get to his story for the longest period of time, because there's still a lot of people, you know, stuck in the foster care system and having so much trouble, you know, with their children being taken care of them. And it's just incredible.
Right.
For the United States, as rich as we are.
We need
to
go for a break from what's, we're rolling out to the end of the show.
Yeah, we're wrapping up here. And also, I want to say that we're going to be doing this about your acting career. Now, you may object to this, but the point is there's a lot of people, they're always asking me, people are always asking me, well, how do you get started?
Right.
What do you do?
Okay.
You know, so
all
I want
right.
to take it right from the beginning and give people almost like lessons.
All right,
and,
we're going
to
be rolling out now. It's time
for
us to end the show. We want to just let you know, listen to us. And today's show, once again, is sponsored by the Move Sounds, inspired by the Mumia Abu Jamal, bwmovingimages.com. Don't forget. We need your support at GoPro Radio Network. Mention the Kay Thompson Show that you're supporting this particular segment of the GoPro Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in.
Okay.
I'm Eric Payne.
And I'm Kay Thompson.
All right. Thank you.